And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. And I'm talking about Alabama. I mean, this show sends its signal like so far on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, all the way back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, we're gonna kick off in here 1 second with the next dipper. I do have a couple more text messages. AJ from Nayota, Alabama. AJ said, attitude reflects leadership. Best line of Remember the Titans. That was a good one. Mm-hmm. Thanks very much, AJ, for listening in. That movie was about more than racism, in my opinion. But what I'm going to go into right now are the people who are out there trying to change the narrative to make us racist when we're not. I mean, it's one thing to say racism exists. Let's make sure it doesn't ever rise up and gain control again. I'm with you. Racism's bad. I'm with you. Racism shouldn't be allowed. I'm with you. Racism is systemic, and all of you are racist if you're born with a certain skin color. I'm not with you. You lost me right there. Well, it's systemic everywhere we look. No, it's really not. It's not. Well, we need affirmative action. No, you really don't. You don't. Well, we need to give things to people so they feel like they've got an equitable share. No, you really, really freaking don't. You just don't. How about this? First story out the gate. So right now, Tommy Tuberville, by the way, is taking some serious heat. Y'all, listen, I'll be honest with you. I appreciate Senator Tuberville's stance. And if you think for a second that he is doing what the left is saying and somehow emasculating the government or the DOD, you would be wrong. There is nothing about what he's doing right now, by the way, that hasn't been done by Democrats in the past. They just can't stand it because he has the ability to stand up under their withering fire. I mean, right now, the man is taking heat like nobody's business. What is he doing? He's merely saying, hey, all of you that want to get promoted to general or admiral or a higher rank within the flag, you know, the flag branch or flag ranks, we're not going to let that just be an easy pass. He's not blocking them. He's telling them that they have to go through the regular order of business. Because what they usually do is they'll come in with a whole stack of them and they'll say, on today, we're going to go ahead and dispense with the regular order of business, and all in favor say aye, aye, okay, all in favor of approving these confirmations, aye, aye, okay, thank you, everybody's a new general. Bam, move on. That's the courtesy way of doing it, where they dispense with the regular order of business. No, but the regular order of business is each individual one is supposed to be confirmed by the Senate after having their own hearing and being reviewed individually. Well, that makes them mad because they want to get it done quick. Well, he's saying, you know what? I'm not going to help you out. I'm not going to help you with the quick if you're going to keep on using federal dollars to do abortions and put all this wokeness on our military. Stop it. Change your policies, DOD. Change your policies, and then I'll do it. They don't want to. So what's happening right now, one of the things that's before the Senate, because Senate does confirmations, one of the things that's before the Senate is the next chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. General Milley's retiring. And General C.Q. Brown, Air Force general, who's been the chief of staff of the Air Force for a period of time, he is the nomination by the Biden administration. Well, that should give you pause. Who's Biden going to nominate? Probably somebody that Biden believes will toe the Biden line, right? President Biden's nominee to be the next chairman of the Joint Chiefs seems to have admitted to engaging in racist staffing and promotion practices. Story on Red State dated yesterday. It says a government transparency group on Monday asked the Air Force to open a probe into General Charles Q. Brown, C.Q. Brown, who President Joe Biden recently nominated to fill the U.S. top military post for potential illegal racial discrimination. What? Yes, that's the allegation. But it's an allegation because, not because somebody said it happened, because he said it happened. While serving as the Air Force's chief of staff and before that as the Pacific Air Force commander, Brown made statements suggesting that he selects individuals for certain roles and promotions based on their race to build purposely diverse organizations. All right. Those of y'all that have been in the military know. Those of you that have not been in the military could probably imagine. The military is supposed to be a meritocracy, meaning you earn the right for promotion. And it is your skills and your experiences and your leadership capabilities that move you to the next level. Who best to fight and win the wars? The person most qualified or the one that was selected to make the ranks more diverse? And by the way, I am not advocating. If every member of the military to win the war just so happened to be black, I could care less as long as they win the war. If every member of the military just wound up happening to be Asian, if every paratrooper was Asian, if every F-16 pilot was white, if every artillery officer was black, I don't care. As long as they're the most qualified and competent individuals for the job, and the lead position in our military is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, he will set the tone. And this particular one, here's his quote from 2020. He said, "I purposely build my office, my front office, and my team with diversity. And I hire for diversity because they all bring a different perspective." Yeah. Okay. Well, this particular article from Red State says, "The military is like no other institution in the country. Not only does it function best as a meritocracy, it must function as a meritocracy. Nothing matters more than the mission. We need cohesion. And staffing decisions using any criteria other than skills, qualification, and leadership will get service members killed and lose wars." So yes, race baiters and charlatans, sometimes they're in uniform. And what I don't want to see happen is wokeness being promoted so that other people can't get promoted. All right, that's one. That's just one example. When I say race baiters and charlatans, they're everywhere. But how about this one? This one caught my attention. PJ Media has a story that came out, I think, last Friday. PJ Media, "A woke doctor suggests that body cams should be on physicians because of rampant racism." So first of all, apparently this doctor does not understand HIPAA. You know, the whole privacy law thing that says your medical records and what happens with you and your doctor is supposed to be confidential, right? The editorial is by a doctor named Amanda Joy Calhoun that was running the Boston Globe. Headline, "What if doctors wore body cameras?" The subheadline is even more provocative, "Black people face racism and worse health outcomes in hospitals, and it's time to document it." Without providing any proof, she goes on to talk about how her mission in life is to make sure that this is made known. Wait a minute. What's her bio? Who is she? She professes to be an adult and child psychiatry resident at Yale School of Medicine. And then she goes on to say she is an expert in the mental health effects of anti-black racism with a focus on medical racism. Oh, let me get this straight. So you wrote an op-ed about pervasive systemic racism while also touting yourself as an expert on pervasive systemic racism. So what you're saying is, I'm trying to prove that I am an expert because I can show you what no one else can show you. That's what's happening. But yeah, she cites some statistics, and they may be true, but they don't relate to true proof of healthcare problems. She cites statistics saying that black women are more likely to die in childbirth, regardless of socioeconomic status. That black children are more likely to be physically restrained. That black infants are more likely to survive when cared for by black physicians. She cites no credible criteria to say these things are true. And while they are sad, even if they were true, they don't prove that doctors are discriminating. We don't know the status behind each patient's categories. And then it goes on to say at the very end, "Oh, Dr. Calhoun," I love the way it ended, "Oh, Dr. Calhoun, you're so brave to agree to be the first doctor to wear a body camera. But I can't help but think that you need to do a better job of proving your point than with some stories. If the medical establishment is as rife with racism as you claim, then prove it. Then others might listen." Race baiters and charlatans, they are everywhere. Not the least of which, by the way, Boomer, you ever used a Ring doorbell?
We don't personally have one, but my best friend does.
We're actually about to, but I mean, they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
They can be creepy, but they're pretty cool. Don't put them inside your house. Well, not you need a doorbell inside your house, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Ring cameras inside your house, strange things can happen. Ring cameras outside your house, I'm all for it.
Yes.
Okay. They're racist.
Oh, they are. Okay. I didn't know where you're going with it. They're racist.
You got to start turning the camera on.
Come on.
All right. So, yeah, Wired Magazine, you know, they're supposed to be like experts in all things electronic. Wired Magazine wants you to know that Ring cameras are racist, so you shouldn't buy them. the author here on hotair.com, article came out just a couple of days ago, says, racism never struck me as a problem till I read this article. And given that Wired's big problem seems to be that Ring features include a camera, is basically the problem. And they also say that Ring, if you sign up for it, you can use a thing called the neighbor's service, where you can link cameras and it also can alert the police. Well, then it goes on to cite statistics that in some cases more black people are arrested than white people. I don't think that's the issue. The issue is, did the Ring camera see them steal a box off your porch, whatever color their skin may be? Did they steal your Amazon package? That's what matters.
Correct.
No.
No.
The fact that it might call the police is racist. Because, you know, police are racist.
Man.
So if the Ring is calling the police, then the Ring is, by nature, by default,
racist. As well.
Yeah.
Wow.
It just never ends, does it? Wired's real problem is that Ring cameras might catch criminals in the act, which they do. And they fear that a disproportionate number of criminals caught on camera will be black. The San Francisco Police Department quit publishing most mugshots due to the belief that letting people see the criminals was racist. And that's the problem here as well. Ring cameras. Racist. We got a caller? I'll tell you what. I can take it real quick before I go to the break. Let me do that real quick. Is that Brian? Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Mighty fine. And I was listening to the topic, and I said, Ring cameras, they're not racist. They're not black and white. They're in color. Well, I'll throw it out there.
Thank you for coming up with the dad joke for the day, man. Thank you very much.
Have a good one, sir. Bye.
See you, bud. All right, Boomer, take it to the break, man. We'll do that right now. I'll come right back. You might want to know, Ernest Hemingway, racist. Or how about, well, I don't know, football. It's racist. Race baiters and charlatans. Y'all stand by. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making common sense a superpower. Hey, by the way, I'm still not used to this, so I got to remember to do this. But I need to point out that the monologue I did earlier at the start of the show, today it was called Only You Can Speak for You. And I used the movie Remember the Titans. But I need to point out that our monologue is now being sponsored by Southern Immediate Care, a chain of medical clinics all across the Birmingham area. Southern Immediate Care, I'll talk about them more later in the show, but they are doing amazing work right now. Open 7 days a week, 5 locations with, I think, some more coming. Southern Immediate Care, sponsor of the daily monologue, The Right Side Way. All right, I got a caller that just came in, so let me just grab that real quick before I jump back into my material. David from Muscle Shoals, how you doing?
Hello, Phil. How are you? Good to hear from you.
Yes, sir. Good to hear you. What can I do for you?
Well, your story about Remember the Titans sparked my memory. I taught at that high school after I left the White House and the administration.
Wow.
I went to work at T.C. Williams High School. Those coaches were my colleagues.
How about
that? And you may not know this, but the white coach, Mr. Yost, grew up in Florence, Alabama.
Somebody else just let us know that by text here a little while ago. I did not know that. What year, David, were you there at the school? Were you there during the period that the movie depicted?
No. That was back in 71. I left the George H.W. Bush White House, and so that would have been probably 91
okay.
or 93. And of course, now remember that's a Hollywood version of the story.
Sure.
The real story is a little slightly different, but it was quite memorable to be there at the high school with those memories. Of course, at the time I was there, there were probably 150 or more countries represented at that high school.
Wow.
It had become more than just black and white. It was a truly multinational school, and multiple languages were taught at any one time. In fact, I went back in the evening and taught English as a second language to immigrants.
Wow. Well, you know, I have heard that Coach Boone and Coach Yost remained good friends for many, many years. Is that true?
They did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Isn't that something? I mean, there were I know there were Hollywood versions in terms of the facts and the way the show that kind of developed the storyline, but largely the base of it was true. And amazing to see that much difficulty in even being able to be considered in the same room. Becoming the foundation for our friendship.
You know, and it was a movie similar to We Are Marshall.
Yeah.
In the sense, when you went to it, the audience, randomly selected people, would stand up and cheer and feel a sense of unity and camaraderie with their fellow man. I mean, it was really special to feel that magic when you watch the movie.
Well, that is something. Man, I really appreciate you calling in to sharing that personal perspective. Let me ask you, too, if you don't mind, David. You said you worked in the George H.W. Bush administration. What did you do there?
Yes, I did political appointments for the president. I worked on the national campaign staff, then went to the transition office, and then went over to the White House to personnel, like appointed business officials.
Well, I tell you what, we appreciate your service to the country, and thanks for calling in. That was a very cool thing.
Well, I'm like you. I followed in your footsteps. I left politics. I was the first Republican elected in Carver County, and after I left office, I now have a radio talk show called Mornings with the Professor.
Outstanding.
WVNA, and having taught economics for 30 years. Now I get to teach in the largest classroom in America.
There you go. Well, David, thank you much, and let's have you back on again sometime soon, and holler at me if I can help you, all right?
And I look forward to seeing you at the state meeting in August.
Outstanding. Thanks, David.
Thank you, my friend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know what? It just dawned on me who I was talking to. I know David. I saw the last name was now written up on the screen. I hadn't said it out loud. I got another caller real quick. I'll take that for the, we're going to run out of time here in about a minute and a half. Is that Jeff? Jeff from Indiana. Hey brother, how are you?
I'm doing good, Phil. Today's a Friday for me, so I'm doing wonderful.
Well, good. What's on your mind today, buddy?
Hey, I'm going to make a racist statement.
Uh-oh.
All black people like fried chicken and watermelon.
Whoa, hello.
And I'm going to make another racist statement. All white people are racists. What's the difference between those two statements?
There you go. They are both wrong. How about that?
That's exactly right. So whenever somebody ever calls all the white people a systemic racism, you need to sit there and look at them and call them a racist. That's what they're doing to you. And
you know,
because they're the ones who are the racists.
And what kills me is it's not always even all about all the white people are racist, which, of course, some of them really do like to say. But what they also say is the institutions, like the military is systemically racist, or corporate America is systemic, or the court system is systemically racist. You can't make a systemically racist thing. It's only the people that make it that way, and the people aren't that way. And the laws of the nation being what they are. Hey, Jeff, my music's playing, brother. We're already up against the break.
Have a good one, Phil.
You too, bud. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Are you right?
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. I'm going to go through the final throes of number one dipper, race baiters and charlatans. Boomer, I know that you would probably agree with me that homework could be a drag when we were in school.
Yeah. No, I mean, really, there's not that many people that like homework.
I mean,
I'm sure there's a few.
There were a few. They were the curve busters, yeah. The ones who always made the rest of us have to play catch up. Teacher would announce, well, listen, all of y'all, I'm going to be grading this on the curve. And everybody would stare at the one guy on the far side of the room, knowing full well that meant that he was going to crush it and we were all going to have to suffer. All right. But what you didn't realize all along was part of the reason why you didn't like homework, why I didn't like homework, why I, you know, my dog ate my homework was because it was racist. You can't make this crap up.
It's becoming a thing.
It's like, wow, it's everywhere you look. Story on the Daily Signal came out a couple of months ago. Maryland's largest school district is reviewing its homework policies through the lens of so-called anti-racism. Here's a quote for you, by the way. Proponents of anti-racism say that America is systemically racist and that racism is built into nearly every institution. They say that just being against racism is not enough. One must be anti-racist and actively work to tear down these institutions. Okay. Montgomery County Public Schools. You know, let me ask you this. If everybody decides not to break a crime, does that mean that everybody is not doing enough? They have to all be crime fighters? That's what I'm hearing. I mean, okay, it's not enough that you don't break the law. You have to be a policeman. Otherwise, you really don't count. It's not enough that you're just not racist. You have to be actively anti-racist. Montgomery County Public Schools, according to the Daily Signal, will reevaluate its homework policies, last updated in 1986. Well, it might be time to update anyway, 1986. With an anti-racism lens to determine how homework affects social-emotional learning, there's problem number one, and whether it negatively impacts marginalized communities. They go on to basically say, here's a quote, you ready? The anti-racist audit, they did an anti-racist audit, the anti-racist audit clearly showed the educational experience for Hispanic students, African-American students, multilingual education students, special education, and others is different and varied than it is for our other students. Well, what's left? You've already got other. I guess you just left us with Asian and white. Anyway, and it just they go on to talk about how they're going to have to retool things to make sure that they're anti-racist in doing homework. How does that even work? What if I come in, math was always my struggle. Didn't matter what kind. I was out with the flu in third grade when they started the multiplication tables. I never caught up, like all the way through high school. So all I'm saying is, if I'm bad at math and I'm in the Maryland County Public Schools and they decide that we need to do homework different if you're, according to that article, Hispanic or African-American. And I say, today, I identify as African-American. Can I not have a homework assignment? Whoa, hey, don't you try to search your privilege around here. I mean, who makes up the rules? Apparently, you can identify as you want to. Whatever. How about this one? Well, let's see. Not about that one. How about not that one? Let's do this one. I'll do this one. Here we go. You ready? I got a stack of stuff, man. Boomer, you're a sports guy.
Yes, I am. I don't know what you're coming at now, so.
Well, you know where I'm coming at.
I know exactly where you're coming at, so I'm already ready for the answer. It's racist.
All right, so, like, I'll take racism for $1,000, yeah. Alex. Here's the question. Football is racist. Yeah. So here's a story off of Red State, came out just a few months ago. Welp, it says it's time to add one more thing to the ever-growing list of everything about America is racist. Goes on to say that, you know, Damar Hamlin played for the Bills, He's the guy that suffered the cardiac arrest on the field, made a dramatic recovery. I just saw this morning, as a matter of fact, that he was at an award ceremony and all of the people that had rescued him came out on stage with him. That had to be momentous.
Wow.
But in an opinion piece posted on the Scientific American website that was titled DeMar Hamlin's Collapse Highlights the Violence Black Men Experience in Football. So last I checked, the cricks in my body, some of which came from playing football, even though I'm white, you know, I just look at it and it says, here's a quote from the author of that article. The terrifyingly ordinary nature of football's violence disproportionately affects black men. What kind of crap is this? First of all, let me just point out something. So as an attorney, I'll just tell you, we look at a couple things, especially in Alabama. We have what's called contributory negligence. The other thing we have is called assumption of the risk. And what it basically means is if you put yourself in the position of causing the injury voluntarily or in some way having caused it, contributed to it in some way and through your own negligence, that's kind of hard for you to complain. Contributory negligence, assumption of the risk. I am pretty sure those grown men who play professional football, college football, even the parents who put their kids into little league football, they're there knowing full well the risks that are involved. It's part of it. And the very idea that you're going to say, well, it's racist because they get hurt more. I don't think that's true, first of all. And secondly, what a preposterous thing to say. What an insult. You know, half of this right now, we look at it, these different claims that are being made. Homework, it's racist. Football, it's racist. It's insulting to people of different demographics. It's like the whole notion that having a photo ID to be able to vote is racist. Why? Well, apparently black people don't know how to get a photo ID. I got news. Black people are just as competent, qualified, intelligent as anybody else of any other color. Well, there's socio and demographic and economic and, you know, oppression and systemic and whatever. No, there's not. There's also excuses. I mean, it's like for the love. And by the way, let me just point out, history dictates that that is incorrect. When Georgia passed their law in the last few years, guess what happened? They had higher turnout than ever before. How about when Alabama did it? When I was in the legislature, we passed the photo ID law, I think in 2014. I don't forget what year, but it was somewhere in the middle of my term, my tenure down there, and we passed it. And then Secretary of State John Merrill made the statement that he would come to every community, set up mobile labs for people to get, you know, IDs, and if you couldn't get one, he would come to your house. And he did a few times. Come down there and, you know, get people squared away. We had a higher voter turnout with photo ID than we did before. And it's just, anyway, it's insulting to say these things. And yet, Democrats don't realize that when they label everything systemically racist and portray everyone as victims, all they've really done is say that person's not competent enough to get it done on their own. I know that there will be times when life does not have the same level of advantages to one person than it does to another. I know there will also be times when someone's background might have given them an opportunity that others didn't have. I know that there's going to be some times when someone will be in the right place at the right time and they'll gain an edge that somebody else couldn't get. And I know for a fact that racism exists in the world, but we are not systemically racist. And these race baiters and charlatans out there trying to create something where there's nothing just need to get a grip. It's time. I mean, you have the right to associate with whom you desire in this country. It's a constitutional right. Freedom of association is guaranteed by the Supreme Court as being under the First Amendment. But anyway, tell you what, Boomer, let's go ahead and take a break, buddy. We'll take that break right now. We'll come right back. Got a few more minutes here to read some text messages, see what's going on. Bottom of the hour, we'll be joining, we usually call it Boomer and McQueen. Today, it's Boomer and Sparky. Oh, yeah. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.